Good morning. Please turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll look at two verses from there this morning, verse 11 and verse 12. Bible reads Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11 and 12. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. And the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. This is the last better proverb in a series of them, which begins from verse 1. You'll notice, if you're reading from the very first verse, it's better this than that, better this than that. Most common word is better throughout these first 12 verses. The first is, a good name is better than precious oils. The second better says, the house of mourning is better than the house of feasting. And then we are told sorrow is better than laughter in verse 3. Then we are told in verse 5, in my own words, the insult of the wise is better than the praise of fools. But what it literally says is that it is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than the song of fools. We're then told, verse 8, better is the end of a thing than its beginning. And then we are told in the same verse that a patient person is better than a proud person, especially when it comes to matters of anger and temper. And then we are told that the good old days are not better than the difficult present days. And we see that in verse 10. Why do not say, why were the former days better than these? So the point there is that the good old days are not better than the difficult present days. And then the final better, which we look at this morning, is in verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance. What it literally says is that wisdom is better with an inheritance. And so each of these better proverbs are meant to challenge us about the way that we think. In other words, these are not things that we often think are better. So these proverbs all surprise us. And the point of them is to challenge us about the way we view life. I mean, that's what Ecclesiastes is all about. It's about life under the sun. And so the things that we tend to despise and devalue and we don't see anything good in them, the scriptures are telling us in this book that actually there might be something good in that which you despise, that which you look down on. It might actually be better after all. We do not see, for example, the benefit of sorrow, and we've spent the last few weeks bringing that out because that's what comes out. Better is the house of mourning than the house of feasting. So it's really meant, this passage, chapter 7, to help us see that those things we tend to despise, some of those things are actually good. They have good in them. And so we need to rethink these things. And so the list of better proverbs ends where the first one started. They end on the advantage of wisdom over wealth. And we give way too much priority. We see way too much in wealth than there actually is. And the Bible, in both the New and the Old Testament, reminds us consistently that wealth is not as wonderful as it is cracked up to be. Wealth is not as superior as we think it is. If wealth is a formula for success in your life, and you do not provide room for wisdom in that equation, the result will be zero. You can have all the wealth, but if you don't have wisdom, the result is zero. In fact, you might even end up with a negative number. You might end up losing something at the end of it all. In other words, a wealthy person that is devoid of wisdom is useless. They're useless. They may have the money, but if they don't have wisdom, they are useless. In fact, their wealth might even likely destroy them. They might even lose their lives altogether. Now, of course, most of us would agree on face value. Of course, wisdom is important. Of course, if you are wealthy and if you are not wise, that is not helpful. But our practice often betrays that that's not actually our mindset. What we do is a result of what we think. So don't sit there and say, yeah, of course I agree that wisdom is as important as wealth. Maybe it's even more important than wealth. Examine your life and let your life tell you where you truly stand on this issue. When you look at your life, what is more valuable? What is more important? Is it wealth or wisdom? What is more worth pursuing between wealth and wisdom? When you look at your life, the way you are living, does it paint the picture that if you can grab wealth and grab money and not have wisdom, you'll be okay? Is that what your life tells us? Is that the message of your life? Because what you do tells you how you think. What you do tells you what you truly believe. If you say that exercise is wonderful, and all of us would say, of course, exercise is wonderful, for it's important that we exercise. We can't just be sitting on a desk the whole week and we don't exercise. But how many of us exercise? And so even if you claim that exercise is important, your life may tell us that exercise is not important. It's useless. You don't remember the last time you exercised. And yet you would say, of course, exercise is important. That's what I'm saying. Your life will tell you the truth. How you live will tell you the truth. How you live will tell you what you truly believe. Because there is believing ideas as good, and there is actually the practice. And it's the practice that tells us what is ultimately good. It's exactly the same when it comes to this issue of wealth and wisdom. Though we would all say, of course, wealth may not amount to much without wisdom, what is it we are pursuing? Is it wealth or wisdom? What is it that is a priority for us? Is it wealth or wisdom? For most of us, it's likely that it is the wealth. It is the wealth. If we truly believe that wisdom is superior to wealth, we would make wisdom our chief pursuit, and a more important pursuit than wealth. We would prioritize it over wealth. Wealth would be secondary in our minds to wisdom and in our practice. We all like the idea of wisdom, but if we're offered one or the other, wisdom or wealth, which would we instinctively, immediately grab? For many of us, it would be wealth. And this passage gives us the importance of wisdom over wealth in what I think is a very powerful way. And this is what I mean. Like, look at your life, and it will tell you what to you is important between wisdom and wealth. It brings it to us by using the idea of inheritance. Look at verse 11. We are told wisdom is good, or is better, with an inheritance. What is an inheritance? It is wealth that is passed on from one generation to another, leaving an inheritance for those who will come after you is a lot of work. It's very difficult. It's not a simple thing. I bet the majority of us who have lost our parents here probably didn't end up with much from our parents. There are very few who end up with anything worth talking about that they inherit from their parents. Why? It's very difficult. It's very difficult to leave something for your children. It's very difficult to have enough for yourself in this life that you can be comfortable, that you can be prosperous, and yet still enough, still leave enough that when you are gone, there is still something left worthwhile for your children. And that's why Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous. So there are those who are not good and leave nothing for their children. For some, to leave an inheritance for your children takes very meticulous planning, very meticulous skill, very meticulous wisdom. Because you have to grow your resources to a point that there is enough that you can leave behind. If you make so little that you only have enough to make to survive from month to month, obviously you won't leave anything for those who are coming behind you. It takes planning. It takes being meticulous. The wisdom and skill of keeping resources so that they are not wasted or lost. Wise investments, maintenance of property, securing money against things like inflation, so that the money that is left for future generations is secure. Wisdom to ensure that what is left does not fall into the wrong hands. There are those of us who maybe there was something left for us, but because there were no steps taken to ensure that those things that were left come to us, by putting them in our name, by writing a will, we lost out. And those things went to other people. So when we talk about inheritance, just know that we are talking about something that is not easy to leave behind. It also requires generosity, isn't it? It requires that you love those who are remaining behind enough to leave something for them. And many of us are actually driven by this. In fact, I'm sure that we will do far better than previous generations at leaving something for our children. And unfortunately, in the process, we miss the big picture. And by the way, Indians are very good at this, right? They are good at leaving behind something for the next generation. In fact, they are good at building something and bringing in the children into it so that they can that thing continues to grow and gets bigger and bigger and bigger and more profitable. So they do a good job of building empires and bringing their children into those empires, and their children don't destroy what they have left behind. Another good example of a group that does this well are Jews. Jews who were scattered all over the world and were despised for being Jewish, so they were not allowed to farm and to participate in manufacturing, and yet many of them ended up rich and retained that wealth for generations. And the way they did it in many of the European countries is that they took over the finance system, because they couldn't farm, they couldn't do all these things, so they went into banking, into insurance, and made a killing there. But you notice that in Africa, we struggle with this issue. A lot of the wealth that is left behind for children is lost and is destroyed. And it brings us back to this very issue right here. It is that we often tend to prioritize wealth over wisdom. That it is more important for us that our children are rich than that they are wise. The desire we have to leave our children hopefully even better off than where we were exposes us. And it leads us to be foolish ourselves. How often do we find parents saying that, telling their children that you cannot be a teacher, you cannot be a nurse. What are the other professions where people don't get much? Teacher, nurse, you cannot be a policeman. I mean, this is true. Most of us, if your child came and said, Dad, I've finished school, Mom, I've finished school, I want to study, and I want to be a policeman. What are you going to say? You forget it. I'm not going to pay for you to become a policeman. Reason being, you end up broke. Police don't make money. Dad, Mom, I want to be a teacher. Teachers don't make money. So the priority for us is the money. It is not the wisdom. And so we'll push a child into the lucrative careers, isn't it? Engineering, medicine, law. And what's the thinking behind that? It's not coming from a desire for children to be wise. It's coming from a desire for children to be rich. And what this passage teaches us is that if your children end up in that career where they make money, but they don't have wisdom, that will be nothing. That will add up to nothing. They will end up losing out. You would have gained nothing. You would have left them with nothing. Because wealth without wisdom leaves us with nothing. Wealth without wisdom is useless. If your child follows the path that you are laying out for them and ends up rich, but not wise, you would have left them with nothing. If you work hard yourself and leave great wealth to your children, but those children are fools, they're not wise, you would have lost out. All that hard work will be for nothing. And so the message of this text is simple. Pursue wisdom over money, for yourself and for your children. Pursue wisdom over money. We're given two reasons. The first is that wealth without wisdom makes us vulnerable. Look at verse 12. Verse 12a, Ecclesiastes 7. Let me start from verse 11. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money. We're given reasons why wealth is no good without wisdom. And the first here is that wisdom protects us. Wisdom secures us. This verse literally reads, in the original language, the shade of wisdom. That word protection is shade. The shade of wisdom is like the shade of money, shaped. In other words, wisdom is a protector. It's a shield. Remember that this is a better proverb. So the point here is that if you have wealth but lack wisdom, you are exposed. You are vulnerable. You will not be shielded. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Brings this out quite clearly. Look at it, would you, with me? 1 Timothy and chapter 6. In fact, it's quite a famous passage. Verse 10. First Timothy 6:10, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. That verse is literally telling us people have abandoned God because of wealth. There are some of us who God doesn't give wealth because he knows. This one, when money gets in their pocket, I've lost them. Let me keep them poor just so that they can have any interest in me. It is through this craving for money, that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But my interest is in that first part. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. That money brings out the worst in us. That money puts sin, which was at low volume, on high volume. That money makes us worse than we already are. In fact, there's a common saying, I think, that goes around, that money just makes us more of what we already are. So if you are stingy, money will make you more what? Stingy. If you are proud, money will make you more proud. If you are sexually immoral, sleeping around, money will make you more sexually immoral. That's what money does. Money is a root of all kinds of evil. Money causes us to be vulnerable. And when we have money without wisdom, we are like no protection. Any attack, once the money comes in the pocket and into the account, the attacks which before the money was there could be guarded against, suddenly those defenses are lost. And we become easy targets. One or two examples. Friendships have ended because of money. Even families have been destroyed because of money. We're talking about inheritance here and the importance of wisdom with an inheritance. There are those of us who amass wealth, but when we die, our families will be destroyed. Our children will no longer get along with one another because they will fight to get more, as much of that, as much of a share as they can get. And they won't talk to each other. There won't be any family anymore. There won't be any family left. Families have fallen into ruin. Siblings who don't talk to each other. Why? Because wealth was introduced, but there was no wisdom. One of the things that comes into our lives and competes with God is money. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. For some of us, money will mark the end, as I alluded to earlier, of our relationship with God. Coming to church, you know, reading Bible, praying. Once the money comes in, that's it. Our relationship with God is destroyed. Money has made people lose out on health. Their health and the well-being of their bodies. You know, in the 90s, Zambia lost almost all its musicians in the 80s and 90s, the gifted musicians. You know how we lost our musicians? HIV, AIDS. Money came into the pocket, and the women were all over the place, and they were sleeping around, and people didn't know there's this thing called HIV, and it ravaged and destroyed the lives of many. Imagine that, having HIV, or because you got money. That's what money can do. Imagine that, falling pregnant, or because you met somebody with money. That's what money can do. Money can open us up to all sorts of vulnerability. And that's where we are pushing ourselves when we are in pursuit of money above wisdom. That's where we find ourselves. We find that we are quickly hit as we are attacked from everywhere, and we have nothing to shield us and protect us. We need to actually view life as a minefield. as a place where you are walking through a field and there are mines and they are hidden. And if you are not careful, if you misstep, you step on that minefield and you lose your leg. Most of us view life as a flowery garden. You know, you've seen those movies where you have a princess in a nice white dress and there are flowers and, you know, she's throwing things and go, you know, and she's throwing. And that's the way we view life. You know, life is like a nice little place and you are skipping and you are hopping and you are singing and you are singing melodies. That's not life. Life is a minefield. Any step can make you lose your leg. There are people who have tried their best. I'm not going to disturb anyone. I'm going to be a morally upright person. I'll do the right things. I'll be faithful to my wife. I'll work hard at work. And they mess up their lives. Meaning well. They didn't even go in trying to do anything bad. They actually went in trying to be good. And they end up in ruin. And they're asking them, how did I end up here? How did this happen? Life is a minefield. There's danger springing up and coming out from anywhere, any place, any time. And when you introduce wealth into your life, the likelihood of stepping on the minefield increases exponentially. The likelihood of messing up increases exponentially. So life is not neutral, as many people would like to think. They think if they just do their best, they'll make it out. No, the only ones who make it out intact and alive are those who are intentional. Intentional about what? Wisdom. About understanding what really is life all about. What is dangerous? What is profitable? What must be pursued? What is this life thing about? And how many of us are living and we can't answer that question. What is life about? What is life really ultimately about? Those who are not intentional inevitably step on mines. We have the world, the devil, and ourselves. Three entities coordinating to destroy us. The world is where the competition comes from. Where when you look around you at work or at school or your relatives and you see everybody's making progress and you come under pressure. As we talk to relatives, workmates, it may not even be a person, it may be a movie or movies and series and music that begins to influence us, to tell us, to give us its wisdom, the world's wisdom. The world's definition of what life is and what it's all about. And we drink that in. And we drink in the ideas of the world. And the attack comes from there. And what does money do? It just makes that attack more fiery. When the world sees that we have the resources, then they now gather around us and begin to exert more and more influence. There is the devil. That is where the temptation comes from. He dangles with his wicked angels, goodies in front of our eyes. He says, if you can just get this, you'll be good. It will all make sense. You know, he dangled something even before the eyes of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus, look at this wonderful city. Look at the buildings. Look at how glorious it is. It can all be yours if you just listen to me. Now, if he could make such an offer to Jesus Christ, who are we? And when he sees that there's wealth there, he doubles the attacks. And he knows he can bring us down. So we have the world where the competition comes from. We have the devil where the temptation comes from. And then we have ourselves, what the Bible calls the sinful nature, where the desires come from. The only reason why we respond to the pressure of the world and we respond to the pressure of the devil is because of who we are on the inside. It's that the world is preaching and dangling, and the devil is preaching and dangling something which is attractive to us. Something which we truly want and desire. And so we are taken down by our sinful, carnal, wicked desires. It's a coordinated attack. These three operate and work together. What hope is there for us if we don't have wisdom? If we can't tell chaff from that which has substance? If we can't tell what is worth pursuing and what is a complete waste of our time, if we can't tell that this leads to danger and this does not, what hope have we? And this is why I'm saying that nobody makes it out on the other side without wisdom. And wealth just makes us more vulnerable to these onslaughts. The second thing we see is wealth without wisdom shortens lives. That's in verse 12 again, Ecclesiastes 7. In fact, this teaches us that wealth without wisdom is dangerous for us, but wealth without wisdom can even end our lives altogether. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 12, for the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Wealth without wisdom can end up killing you. Killing you. It doesn't even need to be your wealth. It can be access to wealth. Never forget years ago the story of a guy, I think he was in secondary school. And the father had many vehicles. And what he would do in the middle of the night, and he had access to that wealth. What he would do in the middle of the night is that he would go in, sneak into while the parents are sleeping, quietly open the garage, quietly open the gate, and put the car in neutral. Unfortunately, I'm revealing the tricks. Wisdom in wrong things. Put the car in neutral without running the car because it will wake everybody up. Push it out through the gate and then start the car from outside. Close everything nicely and drive off. And would be speeding on the streets of Lusaka with his friends. They would be drinking and they would be doing all sorts of things. And then drive back, put the car in neutral, push it back into the garage, lock everything up nicely and jump into bed. And the parents had no idea. No idea. He died. One night as he was cruising down with his friends, lost control, they were drinking, over speeding, lost control, and hit into a tree. And the impact was so bad, the car kind of, contoured around the tree. And there was no body viewing because of the damage that was done. And those who ended up near the car said all they could hear is crackling noise. As the lives of those young people slipped out of them in that contoured car, and they could do nothing for them. You heard about that guy in Zimbabwe. What was his name? Help me now. Jinimbi. Jinimbi or something. Who had this mansion and cars and was over speeding on a party and all these things and crashes the car and it's burning and there's a video where apparently he's screaming for his last breath or something as he burns to death. That's what wealth without wisdom can do. That you can literally die. We've heard of celebrities who have the money, and yet they die. Accounts filled up with money, and they die of a drug overdose. And there's this guy who acted in that Friends on that Friends series. And people were talking about every time he would reappear in public, he looked worse and worse and worse. And the last appearance before he died, even speech was slurred. And you could tell this guy is struggling with some kind of drugs. And he looked twice the age of his friends. His account was full of money. And he died. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, as for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. Wealth gives a false sense of confidence that one begins to think, I am God. You solve so many problems. You know, money solves so many problems. And if somebody has a problem, you just issue money and the problem is solved. You feel a little sick, pour money and you are healed by the doctors. And you can buy the medication. And you begin to think, I'm somebody. When in actual fact, you are nobody. And that is what sets you now on a course to death. Wisdom allows us to see reality. That the wealth of riches is uncertain. That's what 1 Timothy 6 verse 17 says. Tell them not to be proud, but not to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God. That's what wisdom does. That's how you can have people who are boxed up, and they can come into church like an ordinary person and sit down and hear the word of the Lord and serve the Lord. They have not allowed that wealth to get to their heads. So they begin to think, I've arrived. I've made it. I'm a somebody when you are not. Wisdom allows us to see what really matters, to see danger long before it arrives. And when you have wealth without wisdom, you are on a collision course to the very end of your life. You're actually better off being poor and foolish than being wealthy and foolish. One of the cycles that families tend to go through is that of wealth and poverty cycles. A lot of the people who do well in wealthier families are not the children of the people who have the wealth. It's the dependents, those who are brought in from outside the home, and they come in and they know that, hey, this wealth here is not mine. I just have a small window, a small opportunity to make something of my life, to get an education or whatever, so that I can have something when I leave this home. And those are the ones who, the majority that do well in the homes of the wealthy are the dependents, the outsiders, not the children of that home. The children of that home end up destroying their lives, taking what they can see for granted. You know? These things are ours. These things are for mommy and daddy. Actually, they are coming to me. And so the child can't listen. Nothing. The child becomes a complete nuisance and a total fool. And then you know what happens? That child messes up their lives and their children are in poverty. Because even the wealth that they get, they squander. And their children end up in poverty. And they are the ones who start from scratch and make something of themselves. And they become rich and the cycle starts all over again. So that you have wealthy parents who end up with impoverished children, whose children work hard to make something of themselves and become wealthy. And their children become spoiled. And the cycle goes on and on and on. That cycle must be broken. That's a cycle that you and I here need to be aware of. That inheritance is wasted on fools. That wisdom is better with an inheritance. As parents here, we have the opportunity to end those kinds of cycles. You know how? Value wisdom above wealth. Value wisdom above wealth for yourself and for your children. Do you have the conviction that even if I don't leave my children with anything, I would love to leave them with anything, but the best thing I can leave my children is wisdom. That they should be wise. That they should be knowledgeable. And guess what? Wisdom is a person. Let's end on Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. Wisdom is a what? A person. Don't go away. Don't go out of here thinking, "Oh, what I need to do is educate, do financial literacy, you know, literacy about investment." That's the wisdom the pastor was talking about. So I enroll my children. In fact, no. Wisdom is a person. Colossians 2 verse 1, "For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, that their hearts," verse 2, "may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ." And what does he say about Christ in verse 3? "That it is in Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." God has deposited all knowledge and all wisdom in the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul says, "My interest is that your hearts may be encouraged, that you may reach full assurance of understanding and knowledge of Christ, of Jesus." That if you can be filled with the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ himself, with full understanding of him, you'll be good. Because it is in him that we have hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You don't even need to start looking for curriculum. What curriculum can I take myself through so that I can have wisdom? You just need to look for Jesus and have Jesus. You don't need curriculum to educate your children so that they are wise. You just need to introduce them to this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. In him is found all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is in a relationship with the living God. Remember, it's him who made us. It's him who made the world in which we live. He has the blueprint. He knows what this thing is all about. And when he saves us from our sin, he gives us this new perspective. That the world looks completely different. And this is what flips priorities and flips what we love and flips what we pursue, because we have been grabbed and Christ has taken a hold of us. And we are running after things which people are saying, "Iwe, that is a waste of your time. Pursue this other thing here." But you can't. You can't pursue those things because you have apprehended and grab the hold of Jesus. That's what we need to have wisdom. And that's what our children need, to have wisdom as well. So parents, what do your children see? Do they see and hear in you that the crucified Savior on the cross is the greatest pursuit of your life, a relationship with him. It's all about him. It's all about Jesus, my relationship with him, loving him, believing in him, placing my faith and hope and trust in him, exalting him, glorifying him. That's what it's about for daddy. That's what it's about for mommy. It's Jesus. Trusted in Jesus. That's the best gift you can give to your children. That's the best thing you can give to them, because in him is treasure. Parents, do your children see in your life that there's something more important than money? That there's something more important than wealth? That life is not all about money? Because they will learn far much more from what they see in you than what they hear you say. Do they see in you that there are greater pursuits, namely the pursuit of Jesus? There's a song that says, "Give me one true and holy passion, Jesus. Give me one true and holy pursuit for my life, Jesus. In him are all riches." What's more important, parents, that your children are grounded in mathematics or grounded in God's word? What grieves your heart most? That your child passed number two? Some of you, even number two is a crisis. Why are you not number one? You'll be poor. You won't be able to get into engineering and get into... The cutoff point is 6 points. And you want them, their grades, to be up there. And that's what makes you lose your mind. What is more important? That they are grounded in academics or grounded in the word of God? What is more important? That they are excelling at school, excelling in their understanding and knowledge of the word of God? That they are A students in whatever grade they are, or that they are A students in the word of God? This is where we've flipped it. We've got it wrong. And we don't think about it. And it doesn't matter to us. And we are running after education and career for the child and all these things. And we condition the child throughout their life to think this is what will get you there. Wrong. Wrong. It's Jesus Christ. Let your children know Jesus is the most important thing. I've placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I love him with all my being. And even as for me and my house, while you're under me, Jesus will be our greatest love and pursuit, because there is no hope outside of him. Do not compromise on that. Ground your children and ground yourself in Jesus Christ. Wealth without wisdom and the wisdom that wealth without wisdom is now and void. It's a foolish pursuit. And our children will not end up any better off, and neither will we. Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, we are in a world where we are under tremendous pressure. But how foolish we are to neglect Christ, in whom there is all wisdom, to make him our greatest love and our greatest pursuit, and pass on worldly wisdom to those who come after us, because we paint a wrong picture to them about what is important, what is primary. And yet we see in your word that we are actually destroying them when we communicate to them that wealth is more important than wisdom. Would you help us examine our lives and see those areas in which we have prioritized wealth over wisdom? And as we have said, wealth over Christ himself. Help us see that the task is not great, that if we can give our children, those who come after us, Jesus, we've given them everything. If we can give them a big view of Jesus, we've given them everything. And if we give them nothing else, they will be just fine. And we know that this must begin with ourselves, that we cannot give our children what we ourselves do not have. Would you draw us to Christ and help us see in him the greatest treasure that there is in all the world. And may we place our faith in him. It's in his name that we ask this. Amen.